How well do you do at descriptions? Some of you do really well. Some of you, maybe it's not as, don't do as well as others, certainly. How well do you do with descriptions? And what would you do if somebody asked you this question? Tell me about your church. What would you say? How would you describe Stanley Heights? Well, that would be unique in of itself, wouldn't it? To hear how everybody describes Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Well, when the Holy Spirit described a church in the New Testament, he uses two very interesting phrases that say a lot about that church. So I'm going to have you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and we're going to find out how God the Spirit, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as Luke, the human author, writes, describes a church that is in the city of Antioch. So you are looking at Acts chapter 11. And what we'll do is we'll read beginning in verse 19, and I will read through verse 23. All right. Well, stand with me, please. And let's read the scriptures. I'll read aloud as you follow along. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. And I want you to look for how God the Spirit describes the church at Antioch. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and had exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Now, when you look at this portion of Scripture, did you notice the way that the Spirit of God described this church of Antioch? The first one, description that I think jumps off the page to me is verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. So there was something there in their church life that the only way that God could describe it was that the hand of God was there. And then there's another description that is equally as wonderful in verse 23. When it says of Barnabas, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. So when he came to this place, he noticed that there's something about it. The hand of God is here. And this is a place where the grace of God is evident. I can't think of two better ways to have a church described. I can't think of anything else that could be said about Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Then we could say the hand of God is here, and somebody would say the grace of God is here. And so today I'm going to just take a few minutes and preach to you about when God's hand is up upon a church. So let's pray and ask God to help us, okay? Now, Lord, there's something about this church. You were working there so that it was clear that your hand was there. And it was clear that your grace was abounding there. And that's what we want this congregation to be. We want it to be noted here when people come that this is a place where you are at work and where your grace is evidenced. And so help us, Lord, as we consider this church and your description of it and the things that you were doing and the people of it. And we ask that you would do more than just help us to understand what was happening then. What we want to have you do, Lord, is to emulate that in this congregation, because you're a God that is still a God of grace. You're a God that is still working, and how we want your hand to move. And so we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When God's hand is upon a church, that church is, first I want you to notice, a church of destiny. Do you believe that our church is a church of destiny? I do. If I didn't believe that, I think I'd have no hope, and I think I'd lose I just be so discouraged. But I believe that God has His hand upon this church for this city and for this region. And really, ultimately, even for the world to fulfill His eternal purpose. And so it is that verse 19 describes this church of Antioch as a church of destiny. This church was born out of a season of persecution. You'll notice in verse 19 how it is that all these believers got to these various cities, including Antioch. Verse 19, now there were they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as these cities, Phoenicia, Cyrene, and then Antioch. So this church was a church that experienced something that certainly would not be welcomed or desired. Persecution. But this persecution was designed by our God so that the very thing that we would naturally want to avoid was what God was going to use as a catalyst to do great things far beyond what those believers could have imagined. You know, God brings things in our lives like that. God brings things into a church like that. So that God even brings things that we would not welcome, but He uses those things as a catalyst to do things for us and in us and through us that we would have not imagined, that we would have not chosen for ourselves. But it's something that God in His eternal purpose does. And so this church was born in a season of persecution. This church was also brought forth in a strategic place. Now, there are three specific cities that are mentioned in verse 19. The city of Phoenicia and Cyprus. And then there is the city of Antioch. And this city of Antioch became a very significant launching point for the spread of the gospel. In fact, this church in Antioch, as it was formed, was a church that changed the course of the world. What an interesting city Antioch is. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Rome was the largest. Alexandria in Egypt was the second largest. Antioch in Syria was the third largest. There are, 16, 17, 18, 19, I forget the number, of different cities in the ancient world called Antioch. This is called Antioch, Syria. It was a very large city. It was a very significant city. It was a financial powerhouse. It was a wicked city. There's only one city in the ancient world that rivaled it in wickedness and really, unfortunately, excelled it. It was the city of Corinth. Other than that, the city of Antioch was known as a tremendously wealthy city as well as a wicked city. It's about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. But here it was that in this dark place that God sent His people through a season of persecution to do something that would change the world. This city that was known as Antioch, the Golden Queen of the East, a great city. The main street was 4 miles long, was paved with marble. Beautiful buildings, rivaling only Rome in the ancient world as a city as a whole. A busy port center, a center of luxury and culture. Many of the retired Roman officials would retire there, and there they would live with the rest of the city in debauchery. But it was into this city that God sent His people to build His church and to change the world. And so this church of destiny was brought forth in a strategic place that could be a launching point for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. And then this church was brought forth for a very specific purpose. Because from Acts chapter 11, then you go to Acts chapter 13. And guess what Acts chapter 13 describes God did through the church at Antioch. Look at your Bible. Now, there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And they're all listed for us there. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is a church that was that really began the God's work of world missions, the movement that we still share now a couple of thousand years later in this very work. And such was the destiny for this church. And I believe this. I believe there is a church that as a church is submissive to the Lord, following His headship, surrendered to His will, surrendered to His word, a church willing to sacrifice, a church willing to love God at all costs. I believe this. I believe that God's hand is upon that church, and that church is a church of destiny. Let us never presume, because all of us have seen the rise and the fall of great works that in their generation touched the world, and today are nothing more than a shadow. So let us not presume that God can move His hand from this church. But let us expect that God is a God of grace if we will seek Him and will follow Him, that God will have His hand upon us. This is a church of destiny. I believe that for us as a congregation, I really do believe this, that God will have His hand upon us if we will seek Him. And may we not fail the grace of God, but I also believe this. I also believe that our most fruitful days are ahead. Of all the places in the world you would think was a place that would be God forsaken, it would have to be the city of Antioch in Syria, but it was anything but God forsaken. It was a city that God had chosen and selected to, from that city, to multiply His work. And I believe that God still is the God that will do that today. So this is a church of destiny. And I believe this, as you look at the scriptures, Antioch is described as a church of declaration, a church of destiny, and then a church of declaration. Look at your Bible again, Acts chapter 11, verse 19. The Bible says this, they were traveled as far as the Cyprus and Antioch. And then you'll notice how this was described for us. Because this church, you'll notice, the Bible says they were preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And then verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. And when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. You see, a church with God's hand on it carries the torch of evangelism locally. In fact, the church in Jerusalem heard about this. They heard what was going on all the way 300 miles north in Antioch, and they sent Barnabas to find out what was happening. And when he came there, he noted the hand of the Lord was greatly upon them. Then the tidings of these things, verse 23, when he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. And then verse 24 of Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Did you see that? This is a church that was committed to carry the torch of evangelism locally. But this is a church with God's hand on it, and a church with God's hand on it carries the torch of evangelism globally. So that God moved them, they were not content to just be in their own corner of the world. Their desire was that God would so move them that the world could be touched. And in Acts chapter 13, they send forth these men. They started with Jews. They go to the Grecians. Then they go to the uttermost part of the earth. A church with God's hand on it is the church that must have a heart for God, declaring the gospel locally and regionally and globally. And when God's hand is upon a church, that church is a church of destiny, a church of declaration. And then that church is a church of discipleship. Now, Barnabas encouraged the church. He went there and he saw what God was doing. And Barnabas is one of the heroes of the New Testament, at least in my book he is. He saw what was going on, and he just blessed and encouraged the church. I want you to notice then what the Bible says in verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Now, this is going to tell us about the procedure for discipleship and making disciples. There's a whole year, so it's time. They assembled themselves with the church. There's teamwork. And they taught much people. There is teaching. and creating and developing and growing and challenging faithful disciples of the Lord has to include those elements. Time, teamwork, because this involves ministering to people, and teaching. Ultimately, so a person will do what Jesus said in the Great Commission passage of Matthew 28:20, when he says there, when God says there, to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So that this is God's procedure for discipleship. But then I want you to notice the product of discipleship. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. He finds Paul, he brings him to Antioch. They were there. And then the Bible says this, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So you notice these are identified as disciples. Now, this is a direct fulfillment of the Great Commission. Remember the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach means teach disciples. It's the word for discipling. And really, it involves two dimensions of this. It involves the process of teaching, which is the way our Bible translates it. But it is also about the product of disciples who are wholly committed to following the Lord. And so it is here that when this church was established, as God was working in them and this church is developing, in the end of the, not just the process, but at the end of the process is the product of disciples. So much so that the disciples were the first place where followers of the way of the Lord Jesus Christ were called what? They were first called Christians in Antioch. So their identification now is that these are people who are followers of Jesus Christ. Their identification was with the one who was their master. They were disciples of the Lord. And that ultimately becomes the imperative of discipleship. So that your identity and our identity is that we are a place where Christ is seen. We don't want to be a place where entertainment is seen. We don't want to be a place where pride is seen. We don't want to be a place where organization is seen. And I'm for organization. We want to be a place when God, when people come, they see Jesus here. They see Him in your life. They see Him in the way we serve one another and the way we love one another. And they see Him in the way we extend ourselves to others. They see Jesus here. So there's no question that what's different here, this isn't just another church. In our city, you know, we have a few churches. Have you noticed that? We have a few. But there's only one like this church. And what we want to see and what God wants to see is that this is a place where Jesus, living through His body, His character expressed. And when people come, they may or may not like this, or they may or may not like that. It reminds me of a lady who came and she said, "Oh, I love the church, but I don't like that preacher." Hey, truthfully, I don't like the preacher either sometimes. Really, what we wanted to see is Jesus. He's worth living for and worth dying for. The Lord Jesus. And so these disciples were called Christians because they identified with Christ. Now, what would happen if you got a telephone call from the Chattanooga Times Free Press? You got a call from a reporter, and it was the religion editor making random calls, and the religion editor calls you, and you answer the phone, "Hello, I'm so-and-so, I'm the religion editor from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. I'm asking people about their church. Do you attend church regularly?" All of you can say yes. Right? If not, you say you should attend regularly. All right. So you all say yes. And if the religion editor said, oh, okay, wonderful, where do you go to church? I go to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Oh, okay. How would you describe your church? What would you say? I hope that when you described your church, I hope that you could, in all honesty, as you describe it, I hope that your description reflect God's description of Antioch. The hand of the Lord is there. And the grace of God is experienced there. Is that the kind of church you want to be? Is that the kind of church God wants us to be? How does a church become this kind of a church? Do you know how a church becomes this kind of church? I know it's a pastor who's got this really dynamic personality, good looking, a lot of hair, can smile big, and get it on TV. Well, no, you're never going to get that, right? You're never going to get any of that. Just sort of boring person, really. But I'll tell you how God does a church like this. God builds a church like this because a church is a body. And when they're individuals like you, young people like you, and senior adults like you, men like you, women like you, when you are individuals who live with the grace of God and seek the hand of God, you know what God does? God builds His church, and when people come, they say, this is a place where God is. May God help us. Amen? Let's all stand together, shall we? Well, Lord, this church at Antioch is a miracle church. It is a church that, in spite of its very difficult beginning in a difficult place, this is the church that you built and that you multiplied its influence, for you were there. Lord, it is our desire that the church, Stanley Heights in Chattanooga, it is our desire that this is the church that you build. It is our desire that from this church you multiply our influence. For we want this to be a place where you are. God, more than anything, we want this to be a church where your hand is upon us, where your grace is manifest. So make us people of grace. Our heart's cry is for you, Lord. And so we'll thank you for everything that you do. We never want to presume upon you. But we come to you boldly. We come to you humbly, God. Asking, pleading that you would do your will and work in this church. So we believe you for it. And we together, as your people, bound by our love for you and our love for the Bible, and our commitment to the truth, pray for all this to be done. And we ask it in Jesus' name.